Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 42 and verse 11. Psalm 42 and verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 42 and verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Dear David, who is widely believed to be the author of this psalm and the following psalm, because in it so many times we read of the cast down state that he felt to be in. And there were many things to cast him down. And the reason that we have named this as a text this morning was because one felt personally on Friday morning very cast down about many things. And I lay in bed thinking upon all the things that were casting us down. And in a moment, the Lord dropped the first verse of that hymn we hope to sing at the close into my heart, and it quite melted me. Why so cast down, dejected soul? And this was what seemed so sweet to me. A loving Christ is near. Thy broken bones he can make whole, and drooping spirit cheer. You see, the Lord has all power to raise up those that are cast down. Before we look into it at all, we've been singing of the great need of faith. And if you look in this text, the Holy Spirit has wonderfully recorded the faith that was given to dear David and each one of his dear people. There he was, on one hand, so cast down, and I want to look at that in a moment. And yet, in it, the Lord gave him wonderful faith to look out of all the cast down state he was in to the Lord. And what did he say? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. And faith believed it. And there may be why the Lord's given me this word to bring before you those that have those things that are casting you down this morning. But poor soul, the more you dwell on them, and the more I do, left to ourselves, what do? They sink you lower. But when he gives us a grain of living faith to look out of it all to heaven, to the dear Redeemer, it's like Jehoshaphat said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So he did know what to do, didn't he? His eyes were heavenward. Now where are yours and where are mine this morning? Because the eye of faith will ever look heavenward. In all the cast down state the soul comes into. So there's this question, why art thou cast down? What would you answer it this morning? What would I? Well, the Lord's the witness. And it was addressed not to his carnal mind, not to natural intellect. It was addressed to his soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He had that solemn and yet sacred realization that he had a never dying soul. And it was in his inmost soul that he was cast down. And there was this dialogue going on between his own heart and his never dying soul. Each one of us here this morning have a never dying soul, whether we realize it or not. And all men do. But with the real child of God that's born of the Holy Spirit, the Lord brings them into such concern regarding their never-dying soul. Because, you know, when that hour of death comes, and none of us know how soon, the soul will return to God that gave it. Many think when death comes, that's the end of everything. We know it is for the time things. But you see, the soul will return to God that gave it. And it will either be for eternal glory, to be with the dear Redeemer in heaven, or it will be to eternal banishment in hell. And this is what concerns the real child of God so continually as they venture on through this world of sin and sorrow. How is it with their soul? Are we truly the children of God, or are we just the children of the devil? Now all that the God the Father gave to his beloved Son to suffer, bleed and die for will be in glory when their soul leaves this body and this earth. But oh, you think of the solemn issue of those that are out of Christ. The hymn writer said that out of Christ almighty power can do nothing but devour. The apostle Paul said, didn't he? But our God is a consuming fire. And you think of the solemn issue of our souls, if we are never brought to know the Lord and never brought to know our sin and to weep over our sin and to flee to him for refuge. What a solemn state it will be, eternal burning, a consuming fire. But with the real child of God, I never thought of this before, but it seems to come, so I'll name it. You know, that's a wonderful word, really, for our God is a consuming fire. To a real child of God, it'll make them tremble, though. And in this sense, it's a wonderful word, because what will the Lord do to the real child of God? He will cause all that that's only flesh to be burnt up, all that that is of the world in us to be burnt up. Think of what the Apostle Paul said, ye are killed all the day long and as accounted as sheep to the for the slaughter. What did Hannah say? The Lord killeth and he maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he raiseth up. And you know, some of us know what it is, and it's painful to the flesh. When the Lord kills all hope in self, all hope in this world, and the only hope the sinner can have is in a precious Jesus. Killed of everything else, and you're about to bless God for that, that he's made you to feel that and to know it, and to flee to Christ for refuge. Well, I don't know why I named that in introduction, but it seemed to so rest upon me. Let us look at the text as helped. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Let's look at the first clause first. Why art thou cast down? Is the one here this morning, you come and there are those things that really casting you down? And let us begin in our own heart. The world won't be able to understand what I say, but the child of God will. And that is this. You'll be so often cast down because of the sin within you. The hymn writer knew it when he said, a sink of sin and unbelief. He doesn't cast the world down. He doesn't cast down man naturally, because they wallow further and further into sin. And know not that it can cast them into hell. You think how solemn. You know, if we come to die, and I would say this lovingly, and there's one sin unpardoned, eternal banishment will be our lot. When Christ suffered, I speak this with much reverence, at Calvary and shed that precious blood for his dear bride, his church, you and I if we're among them. He shed that precious blood, it cleanseth from all sin. Oh, it does. Not some sins. That's a wonderful word, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And when the Lord said all sin, he meant it. Oh yes. There won't even be the shadow of a spot on your soul and mine if we are sheltering under that blood. It'll all be removed. And every stain, poor soul, of sin, Such is the precious blood of Jesus. And oh, do you feel this morning the great need of it? There's sin within you, sins about you, sins of life, sins of every shape and form. I often think of, and it was put in the Gospel Standard some years ago, and I remember speaking to Mr. Ramsbottom about it at the time when we put it in, of the case of dear Audrey Morris. You know, she had diabetes from birth, and she died, if I remember rightly, was only 9 years of age. And you know, I used to take her dear mother home from chapel in my early days, and she used to talk so lovingly of her dear daughter that died so young, and the wonderful experiences she had. There were times, you know, where she couldn't sleep because of her sin, fearing she'd wake up in hell. She was cast down because of it, you see. This is why what our text said, why art thou cast down? And the Lord knew how cast down she was. He'd made her feel the sin and know the sin within. And she quoted this verse to her dear mother. Sins against a holy God, sins against his righteous laws, sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name and cause, sins immense as is the sea. And then this beautiful word, and this was our longing, and may it be so with you and with me. Hide me, O Gethsemane. And you know, the Lord granted it to her. She knew what it was to have that precious blood applied to her soul. So all the things that cast her down of sorrow because of sin were all removed. And she could lie down and die in peace with God. What did the Lord say when the destroying angel went forth over Egypt? When the children of Israel were there, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, there's the safety for the poor sinner, sheltering under that blood. Why art thou cast down? Well, the Lord knows those that this morning are cast down because of the sin that dwells within. And you can't remove it, can you? And nor can I. And nor can any man. Go to the God of heaven, the dear Redeemer who alone cleanseth sinners of all sin. Those of you who know, I often quote that case of the dear woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee. Oh, how beautifully she experienced amidst all the sin and the cast down state she was in, how the Lord wonderfully gave to her all that she needed. in that house as she washes the Saviour's feet. And we read this. She hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And then he reproves Simon, doesn't he? Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And then this beautiful word, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but unto whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And then he said this to the dear woman, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. You'd be the happiest soul in Zohar Chapel this morning if the Lord spoke that to you and to me. And this is what the real child of God longs for. Why? Because it's the passport for heaven. That's why. We should never get there without that passport, you know. And often the child of God ventures through this wilderness journey so cast down because the sin within, the sins of their lives, the sins of their thoughts, the sins of their actions. But what does he give to the child of God? A heart to weep over them, and a heart to repent over them, and a heart to confess them. Why art thou cast down? So is the one this morning, Lord, it's my sin. They're black as hell, these sins. But what did the Lord say? And it's a beautiful word, you know, in Isaiah. The Lord speaking, and may he whisper it to your soul and mine this morning. Come now, not tomorrow or when you think you will. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, sin is hard, but the Lord will grant with that precious blood of his that that soul, instead of being hardened by sin, will be humble and tender, and a broken, contrite heart they have. And there, you see, he says, doesn't he, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Soft, you see. Wool's ever so soft, isn't it? What did Job say? From God maketh my heart soft. It's a beautiful word, that is, isn't it? It's something I hope I can say from an honest heart. I have to pray that every day. Lord, do make my heart soft. We're often rebellious, aren't we? But the Lord alone can make the sinner's heart soft. Oh, he can. And when he gives that application of that precious blood, or speaks such a precious word, such as I have named, it'll make your heart soft. Oh, it will. What does the hymn writer say about it? Drops in, so I name it. What can soften hearts of stone but the precious blood of Christ alone? Why art thou cast down? The Lord sees how you mourn over those sins. He sees how you grieve over them. He sees how many times you confess them. And he can turn that sorrow into joy in a moment. Oh, he can. Really, you know, there's two contrasts in this text, isn't there? I did intimate it at the start. There's all this cast down state that the child of God feels. And yet there's the other side. I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. Do you believe it? Faith will. It's beautifully illustrated in the case of the dear disciples when they were so cast down, when the dear Saviour said to them that he was going to leave them and go to Calvary. And what does he say to them? Ye now therefore have sorrow. It was fact. They got it. They were in it. But he didn't leave it there, did he? But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Oh, look at the contrast, you see, the sorrow then, but look at the joy there was after the resurrection in their hearts when he saw them again. They couldn't contain the joy, could they? Oh, no. There's so many precious, and may we help to just convey it to you. There's so many precious promises in the Word of God to the cast down sinner that he will cause that weeping to be turned into joy. Oh, you think of those beautiful words in the Psalms. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And you know, these promises, they're yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And he will fulfill them in every jot and tittle. Oh, he will. In his time and in his way. You may be so cast down this morning, you may say, well, I cannot see any ever prospect of the joy. Well, you can't, poor soul, nor could the disciples. But the Lord was to wonderfully fulfil it. Oh, he was. And faith will look out of it all to the dear Redeemer who has all power in heaven and in earth to perform it. Why art thou cast down then, O my soul? Well, we read about Hezekiah, didn't we? That dear man had many things to cast him down. And there may be those of you this morning that have got many things that are casting you down. It's not just one thing. It's not just the sin within you. There are many things. Hezekiah, first of all, was cast down because of the sin there was in him. And you think of how wonderfully the Lord was to deliver him from that cast down state because of his sin. What does he say in his song of deliverance? Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. And then listen, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That was the first thing that cast him down, his sin. Secondly, he was cast down because the Lord had said, thou shalt die and not live. And he'd not had the forgiveness of his sin. That was one thing that really cast him down, but the Lord was to grant it to him. How would you feel this morning? And it's often, search me, if the Lord say to you, thou shalt die and not live. How would you feel? Are you ready? And am I? You know, many years ago now, I went to a place to preach, and the Lord gave me that text, you know, on a Sunday evening when I was pastor at Ashwell. I went to this chapel to preach, you know, and the Lord gave me, and I trembled to take it. Thou shalt die and not live. And I said to the Lord, Lord, however can I preach from such a word? But I went with it, you know. The deacon said to me afterwards, whenever you come, you have a searching word and you're casting us off. Within a week, that man was in eternity. Oh, he was. Thou shalt die. And often look back and I tremble and I think about it. I trust it was well with his soul, but, you know, he couldn't receive because the word was so searching. He said, you always come with this searching word. Well, we want to be searched, don't we, to be right for eternity and to be right when to stand before a holy God. I believe it was well with him in the end, but, you know, it was a searching thing, and I've never forgot it, you know. So that cast Hezekiah down. And not only this, another thing that was casting him down was this: upon him was an affliction that no man could heal him from. And there are times, you know, where the Lord's dear people come into affliction. And the doctors may give us up. But there have been wonderful occasions, you know, where the Lord has so given that person in the depths of affliction faith to believe the Lord will bring them out and deliver them amidst all what the doctors may say. And you know, that's it's a wonderful thing when faith is given to look out of it all, to believe I shall yet praise him. Well, we could speak of this personally, because my own people here will know that when I lay in Bournemouth Hospital a few years ago in September, with sepsis, and you know, on that Lord's Day, I should never forget it. I was so troubled because I'd got three services, you see, and couldn't take them all. There was I lying critically ill in Bournemouth Hospital. And I begged of the Lord to come. It was just as though this was upon me, thou should die and not live. But the Lord, you know, wonderfully gave me this word, and many of you will know, I've quoted it before, come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he had, and he will heal us, he hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And then look at the wonderful prospect in it. After 2 days will he revive us. And the third day he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. And you know the Lord fulfilled that in every jot and tittle. Exactly. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And you may come this morning cast down. What does the apostle say to the Corinthians? Cast down, but not destroyed. That's a wonderful mercy, you know. Not destroyed. And Hezekiah, you know, he was cast down too because of the Assyrian army that was out to destroy him and the city of Jerusalem. But what did the Lord send the prophet to him with that beautiful word, didn't he? Here was faith reaching out for the promise to be fulfilled. The word of the Lord came unto Isaiah saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord God, the God of David thy father, and then listen, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. And he does, poor soul. He sees all the tears of his dear people. And they are kept in the bottle in heaven. They're all known to the Lord, you know. Hezekiah's word and the child of God in 2019, he sees their tears. I have seen thy tears. And then listen. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. It was the Lord's work from beginning to end to lift him out of this cast down state to be able to praise and bless his God. Oh yes. And I'm persuaded of this morning, child of God. You're in this state, but you won't always be in it. The day will come when he'll bring you up out of it, you see, to praise his holy name. He must have and will have the glory. Oh yes. And the soul that experiences this will be able to give him the glory and the praise. Why art thou cast down then, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? You know, there's several ways you can look at disquieted. There was no doubt much turmoil and noise within his heart in this. The adversary, Satan, you see, casting him down, attacking him, There was this inward conflict and warfare. You know, when there are those that protest sometimes, like in our land and others, they make a lot of noise, they cause disquiet, don't they? But what it means in this case is this. When we're often disquieted in our hearts, in our souls, is there's trouble within us. We're troubled about this. We're troubled about this, that, and we're disquiet. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Then I must leave it, the time's more than gone. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. I shall yet praise him. You may say to me as we leave it this morning, if only I could believe that. Well, poor soul, may the Lord give you that faith to believe it. And when he does, you'll be able to crown him Lord of all.